Good morning.
Good morning.
When the Lord began to speak through Hosea, the Lord said to him, "Go, take your wife, and take yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because the land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord." So he married Gomer, daughter of Diblaim, and she conceived and bore him a son. And the Lord said to Hosea, "Call him Jezreel, because I will soon punish the house of Jehu for the massacre at Jezreel, and I will put an end to the kingdom of Israel. In that day I will break Israel's bow in the valley of Jezreel." Gomer conceived again and gave birth to a daughter. And the Lord said to Hosea, "Call her Lo-Ruhamah, for I will no longer show love to the house of Israel, that I should at all forgive them. Yet I will show love to the house of Judah, and I will save them, not by the bow, sword, or battle, or by horses and horsemen, but by the Lord their God." After she had weaned Lo-Ruhamah, Gomer had another son. Then the Lord said, "Call him Lo-Ami, for you are not my people, and I am not your God. Yet the Israelites will be like the sand on the seashore, which cannot be measured or counted. In the place where it is said to them, 'You are not my people,' and they will not be called, they will be called sons of the living God." Thank you, and may the Lord add his blessing to his word today. You may be seated.
Thank you so much, Roy, for reading the scripture this morning from Hosea chapter 14, verses 2 through 10. Chapter 1, verses 2 to 10. And this is a wonderful story about God's love, God's unconditional love to all of us. It reminds me of a story about a fisherman and his friends. Now, this fisherman was a very good Christian. He goes to church, he prays, but for some time he had been out of fellowship with the Lord. And at one time, he and his friends were at the sea fishing. And all of a sudden, there was a big storm and threatened to sink their ship. Now, his friends knew that he was a Christian. He went to church, and so they were begging him to pray to God. So he said, "It's been a long time since I've done that or even entered a church." But they kept on insisting they did not want to die. You see, they did not want to die. They were sinners. They did not know, but they did not know God, but they did not want to die. So they were asking his friend to pray and pray and pray. And finally, he said, "Okay, I'll pray." And so he said, "Oh Lord, I have not asked anything of you in 15 years. And if you help us now and save us and bring us safely to land, I promise I won't bother you again for another 15 more years." Let's pray. Let the words of my mouth and the meditation of our hearts be acceptable to your sight, O God, our rock and our redeemer. Amen. The story which I just shared, it's a classic example of us human beings as sinners. There are times when we just kneel down and pray and we cry to God for God to save us. But when we are doing okay, when we are doing all right, we tend to forget God and we think we are just doing fine because we are smart or we can do it by ourselves. All of us have sinned against God. We are prone to committing sin. And very often we only reach out to God only when we are at the end of our rope and when there seems to be no other way to solve our problems. Have you ever experienced that in your life? do we do that? Sometimes we just think that everything is going fine, blessings after blessings, and so we think it's okay. But we really kneel down on our knees and start to pray only when we run out of all our options from human perspective. In the book of Hosea, this is a classic example about no matter what we do, no matter how unfaithful we are to God, no matter how many times we break our promise to God, no matter how many times we pray and we forget the moment God blesses us, this is a classic example of God's unconditional love to us. And the prophet Hosea tells us about God's love through the example of his love for the people of Israel, even though they have betrayed him so many times. And we all know the people of Israel were specially chosen people out of nothing. They were in Egypt, of course. They were first called through Abraham, and they were in Egypt, and out of Egypt, God brought them out, and God gave them the law, saying, from now, you are a special people, just like us. When we come to church, we are all special people. The moment we accept Christ as our Lord and Savior, we are special people, chosen people, and we have to follow the teachings of the Bible. And yesterday, during our leadership retreat, one thing that came out very strong was obedience. We have to be obedient to God, to what the Scripture says. We have to be willing to let the Holy Spirit lead us and guide us in our everyday lives, not only on Sunday morning. And so the people of Israel were given the promise, the promised land, everything, blessings. Only one thing, they are not supposed to forget God. They have to love each other and love God. And most of the times, people say, I love God, I read Scripture, I pray all the time, but that is not what loving God means. Loving God means we have to practice, put into practice every day in our relationship with our loved ones, family members, neighbors, co-workers. And if we cannot show that love, everything will be just like what Paul says, just a noise. Because even non-believers, those people who do not go to church, can say the same thing, I love God. Everybody can say that. But are we really loving God in our action? That's the main thing. And so that was lacking among the people of Israel. They were given all the blessings. They were given the land, the promised land, everything. But the moment they were okay, the moment they were blessed enough, the moment they prospered, they forgot about God and did everything that was against what God wanted them to do. And so here, Hosea is coming to remind the people of Israel, saying, you know what? You have been given all the blessings, you have prospered, and you have done everything against God. But God is a God that shows unconditional love. And this is what God is going to do. And so in Hosea chapter 1, verses 2 to 3, it says, go, take yourself an adulterous wife and children of unfaithfulness, because this land is guilty of the vilest adultery in departing from the Lord. So he married Gomer. Now, we are not going to talk about the history city, the historical example, but here God is showing a parable about how God is willing to marry an adulterous people of Israel. And so the people of Israel were acting like adulterous women who would go after one after the other, and they would trust the high rulers, the powerful kings around the nations, and they forgot about their trust in the Lord. And so now Hosea is calling them like, you are just like an adulterous woman who would go after powerful man, richer man, and so you are not being faithful. But now God is even willing to take the adulterous people back in order to love. So now here in verses 2 to 3 it says, go take yourself an adulterous wife, children of unfaithfulness. God commands Hosea to marry an adulterous woman, prostitute named Gomer, as an example of God's love for adulterous people. Now, we can call her a tramp, a harlot, a guttersnipe, whatever derogatory term you could think of this woman. This woman, Gomer, was one of society's outcasts. She was looked down upon by the morally good people of society. She was a woman of no value except for the man she serviced. Now, the biggest question for all of us in our society today is, how could anyone love a person like Gomer? And yet, Hosea followed God's instruction, and yet Hosea takes her off the street into his home, shows her his love and kindness. He makes her his wife, and he makes her someone who is important and valuable part of his life. Not only does Hosea takes Gomer to be his wife, but he makes a home for this, for her illegitimate children, children born of her harlotries. Just like Hosea, Jesus takes us, a rebellious and sinful people. He loves us and invites us. Jesus asks us to be his bride. He takes away all our rags of filth, sins, and he gives us a new identity. Christian, believers, members of First Baptist Church of Hudson, he gives us that identity the moment we come and accept Lord into our lives. Now, Roy just read the names of the children. Now, there were a few children, and the scripture says they have three more children. Now, before I give you the children's name, let us look at what was happening with God's people during this time. This God's people were unfaithful. They were prospering in their political life, in their economic life, and God made them powerful. They became a powerful nation, and they were doing everything a powerful nation can do. All the economy, their crops, it was successful. They were having wonderful harvests, and all the people were doing amazing in their family life, in their nation, and people were scared of these people. All the surrounding nations were scared of this powerful nation, Israel, Judah, because they were blessed by God. But if we read the entire book of Hosea, we will see all the corruption, all the injustice happening in their society. The kings created a class system in their society, and there were officials, and they were next to the officials, and the working class, and the lower class. And one of the things that was happening around them was everybody had a plot of land. that was, and in Israel, in the Old Testament, the theology of land is that nobody can buy and sell land. You can only inherit from your grandfather to your father, to from father to son and son to children, and it will only rotate among family members. Because if you start selling the land, there will be a lot of problems. There will be poor people who cannot pay off, and they are not supposed to lend money on interest. But when they started the practice, a lot of people, poor people, lost their lands, their homes. And what happened was Israel was not a place where there was rain and water all the time. There will be drought in certain years. And so when the poor people borrowed land on interest, if they cannot pay back this year, the interest will keep on going. And next year, it will go more than your capital. And now their only source of income was olive oil and wheat and grapes, which they make wine. And so the farmers would work hard, but if their harvest failed, they do not have anything, and so they will only borrow more money, so that expecting that next year when they get good harvest, they will pay back. But if the harvest failed because of drought, now we are having drought in California, and yesterday we were talking about how our price will be affected this year. And so you can just imagine how these poor farmers, if there was a drought and if the harvest failed, they cannot pay back, and so the interest will go up higher and higher. And what happens is slowly, slowly, you will have to mortgage your home, your land, your home, and if you cannot pay back all the money you borrow in order to grow in your field, very soon you will give away your plot of land, and very soon you will give away your home, and very soon your children will start working for the owner of your original home and land, and slowly, slowly, if you cannot pay them back, your children will become slaves to that owner. And so that was the process going on. And in the Old Testament, God clearly says that you cannot mistreat and you cannot charge interest, and all those laws are given. But because of this practice, many people were mistreated in their society. And there was no turning back for the kings and the officials to keep on grabbing lands and making people lose their homes and properties as well as their children. Now, this was the context where Hosea found that whatever God put them in their hands, they were doing everything in contrast to what they were supposed to do. And so Hosea comes back with three names to suggest that God was not happy with them. Now, first name is Jezreel. We will find in Hosea chapter 2, verse 4. And that means God sows or scatters. And so God is telling them, you are so confident in your property, in your money, in your prosperity, in your power, but if you do not return back to God, God will scatter you. The northern tribe is warned that they will be taken into exile, they will be scattered if they did not repent of their wicked ways. For Christians, this means when we hang on to sin in our life, or if we try to mix a worldly life with a Christian life, if we let the worldly life, the culture of our time, control us, take us away from our Christian life, this is what God is telling. God will scatter us around if we do not turn back to God, if we do not learn to be thankful to God for all the blessings we receive from God. God will scatter us. Now, the second name, it sounds funny, but in Hebrew it is the way it sounds, so I have to do it. Lo Rochama. And the second child is called Lo Rochama. It means no mercy or abandoned. You will be abandoned. God warns his people that he will allow evil to befall them, to come upon them, and his hand of mercy will be removed from their lives. When we backslide, when we drift away from our relationship with God, we may find ourselves feeling abandoned by God and sometimes alone with all our problems, all our troubles. And sometimes we may tend to say, God does not care. I've been praying. But we never think about the action we do, the decision we make, whether our decision, whether our lifestyle is in line with God's plan for us, God's instruction for us. The third name, the third child is called Lo Ami, which means not my people. You see the contrast between Lo Ami and the chosen people? The people of Israel are the chosen people. They are the special people chosen out of nothing. But God is not happy with them. And so he is saying, if you do not come back, if you do not turn back, you will not be my people. I think here's a message for our people in our country. If we do not turn back, we are the most powerful nation in the world. We are the most blessed people on earth. God has blessed this country so much that we cannot even count. We cannot even stop listing all the blessings God has given to this country. What are we doing now? Where do we stand in relationship with God when we come to our country? It is time for us to really turn back, for the nation, for the entire people to come back to God and say, God, forgive us. We need your guidance one more time. Otherwise, God will tell us, you are not my people, and that will not be good. Because we know what happened with the people of Israel, the chosen people. God said, you are not my people. And what happened? What happened? They went to exile. They were dispersed. If we do not trust God and do things, and if our plans, if our lifestyle are not in alignment with God, God will take away that blessings from us. And that is a scary thing. And we have to be scared. And so God warns that the people, that their rebellious action will ultimately separate them from God. This is what sin does in our personal life, because when we talk about our nation in general, it didn't become all of a sudden. It becomes from every single individual. And if we want to change our nation, it has to begin from all of us, each one of us. We cannot expect other people to change if we do not change. And that's the most important thing in our relationship with God. And it begins with a little sin that we cannot get away from. And when we let sin take control of us, it drives a wedge between us and God. And that is the main key mission of Satan in our lives. The only mission Satan wants to do is to separate us from God, from our relationship with God. To draw us away, pull us away from the love of God and from our relationship with God. God was trying to teach Israel that he loved them even though they were unworthy of his love, unworthy of a relationship with him. That's the same thing he's telling us. We go to church every Sunday, we pray, we read scripture, but are we really in line with God's command for all of us to follow his teachings. Now, God was dealing with a very big problem, a backslidden child. God's people were unfaithful. As a Christian, what happens when we sin? As Christians, what happens when we receive the gift of Spirit? And then, what happens when we miss that gift? When we fail? What happens when we return to the pattern of our past sinful behaviors? If we read Hosea chapter 2, verses 2 to 5, Hosea, the prophet, finds that his wife, Gomer, has been cheating on him, that she has returned to the only life she knew. And through the reflection of Hosea's life, Hosea's commitment, Hosea's love, we see God when he reaches out with all his love, placing himself upon the cross, suffering humiliation for us, just to bring us home, to clean us up, and make us his bride. Now, what happened to Gomer? Why did she return to her sinful past? Why did she turn her back on the only person who has shown her love and kindness? I think we all know the answer. Because many of us have wrestled with slipping back into patterns of behavior that we know are wrong. Maybe for some of us, it could be pride. Maybe for some of us, it could be bitterness in our lives that we don't find any way to get rid of. For some of us, it could be some kind of behavior that we are dealing with, some kind of habits. And maybe for some of us, it may be that we find ourselves living for the pleasure of the moment, unable to see the joy of eternity. It may be we have not yet learned a better way of life, or that we have not yet put God into our lives. It may be that we simply have slipped away, and that we have made one mistake, and the shame and guilt of that one mistake has put us in a downward spiral. Gomer never realized how just good she had it, how blessed she was to be Hosea's wife. She has not acknowledged that I was the one who gave her the grain, the new wine and oil, who lavished on her the silver and gold. Gomer had not realized that everything she wanted in life, the reason for which she sought out prostitution to fill those needs, were all provided by her husband Hosea. God had provided for his people Israel, but God's people did not honor him. They were unfaithful. The same God who loves us while we were unlovable, who ransomed his life for ours, is still inviting us to love him, to love us, and for us to turn back to him. Because God is a God who seeks to restore his people no matter what we do. God's discipline is meant to lead us back to him, to bring restoration. Because in Hosea chapter 2, verse 14, he says, "Therefore I am going to allure her. I will lead her into the desert and speak tenderly to her." Sometimes, maybe for Christians, we have to hit rock bottom before we will start listening to God or return to him. And I am sure for many of us, God leads us into the desert many times in our life that He may transform our hearts, because often it is these trials that force us to make changes in our lives. Just as Gomer was restored to our original place, God wants to restore the joy of His people. God wants to restore your life completely to remove the shackles of guilt and pain that you have experienced from time to time and that you have failed many times in your life. In order to restore us, God is calling us to genuine repentance. Too often our repentance is short-lived. We return to God long enough to feel good about ourselves, and then we return back to our rebellious lives. And so in Hosea chapter 6, verses 4 to 6, God says, "What can I do with you, Ephraim? What can I do with you, Judah?" We all have had children, and at some point, when I was growing up, I grew up in a big family, and so my parents, sometimes I was naughty, I didn't listen, and so sometimes my parents would say, "Oh, Moa, what can I do with you?" There were times when our parents said, "What can I do with you?" And that was the same expression God is saying to Ephraim and Judah. And I'm not going to share anything about what we share in our Wednesday Bible study. Please don't tell anything about me. So here God is telling Ephraim, "Oh, what can I do?" Ephraim is the northern kingdom, by the way. And Judah is the southern kingdom. Now, God divided the kingdom of Israel into two because there were infighting among themselves, and they were not seeking the will of God. They were just trying to do what they want to do. And so the United Kingdom was divided into southern kingdom and the northern kingdom, and the two kingdoms never enjoyed the blessings as it was during the time when they had United Kingdom under David and Solomon. And the same thing can happen if there are infightings in our family, in our society, and sometimes even in the church. And so God is saying, "Oh, what can I do with you, O Northern Kingdom? What can I do with you, O Southern Kingdom?" "Therefore, your love is like the morning mist, like the early dew that disappears. Therefore, I cut you in pieces with my prophets. I kill you with the words of my mouth. My judgments flash like lightning upon you. For I desire mercy, not sacrifice, and acknowledgement of God rather than burnt offerings." And here is a big message for all of us. God does not just require prayer and reading of scriptures and do nothing. That is not what God is asking us. God is asking us to devote our time in prayer, dedication, and whatever we learn and whatever we pray, go out and do it. And so God is saying, "What am I going to do with you? For love for me comes and goes like morning dew. Do I have to put up a big neon sign for you to get the message? I desire mercy. I want you to acknowledge me as your God in these things and say you do. Don't just give me lip service." The reason people keep sliding back or falling back into rebellious behavior is they never allow God to make those changes in the way in which they live their lives. God is telling us in Hosea chapter 14, verse 1, Return, O Israel, to the Lord your God. Your sins have been your downfall. And so God is inviting us to take responsibility for our action, and He is asking us to change. And here's the message for all of us. As Christian, as human being, we may sin from time to time, and that is what we do all the time. But we have to accept our own responsibility of all the sins we commit. And we have to be willing to come back to God and say, "Oh God, I have sinned against you. I want you to accept me back into your fold. I want you to guide me. I want the Holy Spirit to lead me, not my way, not the way I want to do things, not in the way I think is right, but I want the Holy Spirit to guide us. Maybe if there are things in the life that hinders from God entering into our midst, I want to give that up. I want to really let it loose. And I want you to come into my life, into my family, into our community, into our society, into our church, and into our nation, and lead us back one more time." Are we willing to do that? That is the question for all of us. But the fact remains, God's love is unconditional love, and God is inviting back to enjoy His blessings one more time. May God bless us all. Amen. In response to the message, let us all come together bringing our gifts, our tithes, and our offering. And I would like to invite the ushers to please come forward. Let us pray. Oh, gracious God, you have blessed us so much that we come together at this moment bringing our gifts, our tithes, and our offering. We pray that you will use our gifts of our lives and our pockets, and we pray that we will be able to feed, clothe, and house our neighbors in our community, in our nation, and even across the world. We pray that you will give hope to those who are hopeless and healing to those who are sick in body, mind, soul, or spirit. And we just pray that you will empower us not only to do ministry here in this building, in this church, but beyond this four walls, so that, Lord, your name will be glorified. Use our gifts, use our ministry. We pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
Amen.
go forth from this place with the knowledge that you are loved unconditionally as a child of God. Know that with great love, you can change what is to what God wants us to be. Just do it, and the power and the Spirit of God will lead you, guide you, and help you. Amen.